This is great. Chilling by the ocean, waves crashing, drink on the side. Death Star flying above me. Are those TIE fighters?
The sun is out and our blockade is legal. Join Robin Boat and Sean Michaud right now. Right now.
Hello there.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Brick City Blockade here live on this Sunday fun day, February 20. Let me make sure I get the right date. 25th, Sunday, February 25th. I know. Not the 26th yet, but it's the 25th. How is it going, everybody? We are so happy to see you. So happy that you can join us. Firmly grasp it and hit the like button. Oh, I like that, Andrew. Yeah, absolutely.
You're firmly grasp it.
Firmly grasp it.
I'm sorry. Didn't the music in the beginning, the intro music that we have, sounds like something like surreal? Is this commercial, remember?
Yeah. Just a little bit. Hey, look who's here. Vince is here.
Oh, Vince.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, Vince?
Good to see you. Good to see you. All right, Mr. Sean Michaud, how are you doing this evening? How's your week been?
It's fine. I mean, other than hours being cut, it's fine.
That's.
How are you guys doing?
How about you, Andrew?
I'm living.
I feel that. I feel that for sure. Except how about you, Shane? Answer. Doing good?
I'm okay.
Doing good. Awesome. It was a very busy, busy week for everybody who's tuning in and listening on the audio version of the podcast. There's a lot of fantastic things coming up down the road. A lot of things that happened this past week. You know, really cool things. Let's just jump right into it. Let's get right into all the amazing things that happened this past week. We had season 3 of The Bad Batch drop. Finally, the final season. It's such an exciting time for Bad Batch fans, for Star Wars fans. We were kind of wondering, like, when were we going to get some Star Wars content? When were we going to get something after Ahsoka? And boom, they came right around the corner and said, we're going to give you this final season of Bad Batch. And these first 3 episodes, guys, I mean, we'll break it down here. But Andrew, I have to say, you know, a lot of people are kind of commenting online saying, well, you could have molded the second episode into the first episode, or hey, you could have had a really big one episode jumpstart to this final season and done it for an hour and a half or whatever else. I like the 3 episodes. I think it was a lot of fun the way that
it's easier to dissect and easier to watch instead of if you want to have an hour. How long is each episode? 25
were
minutes?
They 35 each?
35, so it's like an hour and hour and a half.
Just about. So, Andrew, what are your takeaways from these first 3 episodes? What's your overall thoughts on them?
I enjoyed them. I didn't mind that they were cut up into 3 episodes because I feel like it gives more breathing room for if, like, hey, you got to go, like, out shopping or whatever. You can watch one episode, then you can come back to the next one. You don't have to pause or leave and be like, all right, is it going to resume where I left off or is it going to restart? Right. Really cool stuff. I forget the name of the planet, but I remember it was in the Tarkin book.
Yes, it
originally
was.
And just seeing all the creatures that were there almost reminded me of, like, it's an old PlayStation game, Dino Crisis, where
Dino Crisis,
it's essentially like Resident Evil just with dinosaurs, and it gave me that feel, especially the opening where, like, the T-Rex shows up in Dino Crisis.
Yeah,
and I liked what they were. Spoiler: Palpatine shows up. I like.
You haven't watched it. You need to stop this right now.
Yeah, like, yeah. By the way, Palpatine is there. If you didn't see him in the trailer, if you didn't watch the trailer, but. I like where they're going with Project Necromancer, which is like, they revealed it in Mandalorian, but the fact that Palpatine has been working on this since the end of the Clone Wars just shows how far ahead Palpatine plans for everything.
Yes. Yeah.
And how good the writers are at solving plot holes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But it's connecting to the sequels. A certain
Can't do that. Can't do that. Mount Tantus is the name of the laboratory.
The base, but they don't know what planet it's on.
Okay.
Correct. So, Sean, what's your take? And let's say a good evening, of course, to Tony.
Hello, up, Tony. How are you? Oh, and hello, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. How about you, Sean? What's your takes?
I mean, it's the same boat with Andrew. I loved the three episode take. I mean, I especially loved the third episode where it's Crosshair and Omega trying to escape. That's like one of my favorites.
Yeah,
and it really showed their connections to each other, which I really enjoyed. Very amazing writing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Shayla? What do you think? Because I know, you know, we just did a third. We recapped the third episode.
A lot of folks are saying that the first three episodes are anticlimactic, and I would kind of have to agree.
Oh.
Not that they were bad. Like, I don't think they were bad. I just think that we are coming off of, like, Mandalorian, Ahsoka specifically. And I know that Ahsoka and Mandalorian and like Kenobi, those series are written for a different audience than Bad Batch is written for. Like Bad Batch, it does have a lot of mature themes, but at its core, it's an animation intended for children. Like it's based off of the Clone Wars, which was like a Sunday morning cartoon. So like it's just adjusting back to that medium for Star Wars is a little bit, it's a little bit of an adjustment.
It's jarring a little bit.
Yeah, maybe? I mean, not like it's not like taking me out of it. Like I still really enjoy it, and I really want more. Is kind of the core of what I'm trying to say.
It just didn't give you enough.
Yeah. I felt like it didn't give you. I felt like there could have been some more.
I mean, I kind of felt that a little bit too.
The best example that I can come up with is I really wish that they had used these three episodes to show, I almost wish that they hadn't shown Hunter and Wrecker at all. I understand why they did, and I know like why they did, that makes sense to me. But I wish that they'd focused the entire three episodes, at least the opening three episodes, on just Omega and her experience at this base, because she is isolated. She doesn't know what's going on with the Batch. They don't know what's going on with her. And I also wish they had kind of doubled down on the fact that Nala Se is a mother figure to Omega. Like, she raised Omega. Mm-hmm. She worked with Omega. Like, and Omega, we forget. It's very easy to forget because she is a clone. She grows. She doesn't grow at the accelerated rate. She's actually grown as a normal child. So she spent the whole, I mean, at this point, she's probably, what, like 12 or 13 years old of her life with Nala Se. And then she went off with the Batch for like a couple of years, and now she's back. So Nala Se is her mom, and I don't think that was communicated very well. And I really wish that they had. And they got her. The bad guys got her originally to get Nala Se to work. They didn't know that she was like necessarily. Did they know that she was a clone? They might have known that she was a clone, but they didn't know that she was like integral or important in any way. They just knew that Nala Se loved her, and they wanted to exploit that. And I wish that the show had kind of leaned into that relationship a little bit more, because then I think it would have made a lot more sense as to what pressure Nala Se was under, and her motivations for helping Omega to escape were more about love than anything else. And I think that's very integral to the Star Wars series as a whole. I mean, the Force is an analogy for love. So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and it brings up a really interesting point too, that when we see, you know, that Nala Se has been taken in essentially against her will to help with the cloning process and to basically oversee the entire scientific aspect of it. How did they do it on Kamino, and how can we replicate this for, you know, the purpose of Palpatine and whatever his end goal is? We know what that end goal is, of course. But you're right. There is a relationship build that does, it is missing in there at different points. And I think the other thing too is not just the relationship with her and Nala Se, right? Her relationship with Crosshair, right? It sounds like she's been going and she's been visiting Crosshair quite a bit during this time, to the point where it's, especially in the second episode, when he's kind of like, just leave me alone. Like, you're annoying me. I see you too often. Enough is enough.
I see you too often.
Like,
I mean, you're not wrong.
It seems like that at different times. But I just don't know. I would love to know more about what's been going on with Crosshair in that place of solitude. Like, she was mentioning that his hand was shaking.
His hand was getting worse.
Right? So what kind of torture was he being put under? And was he also being additionally questioned about aspects of the Bad Batch, where Hunter and Wrecker are? You know, like, I feel like there's other things happening, and maybe there was a reason that we didn't get those things.
I think that the right hand, away. We didn't do a full rewatch from season one of Bad Batch before season three. We might want to go back and do that. We'll probably do that this week. You know, that'll be our show. And I think that they mentioned something about him starting to have a tremor in either in season two or the end of season one or the end of season two.
Well, it's because of the chip.
It's because of the chip. It's also because, like, let's not forget that the clones have accelerated aging. They're getting old. And I would not be surprised if we start to see the Batch have gray hair in the season. Because they're accelerated aging. That accelerated aging doesn't stop when they hit maturity, right? They only live to be like 20 years old.
Which is what's so surprising about Rex being able to live to Return of the Jedi. And it's rare for a clone to live that long. And also with Clone Force 99, they're more of the not well-developed clones.
Correct.
And my main issue with these three episodes, I feel like the escape was too quick.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I feel like it was a bit rushed with their escape.
It worked right out. It was like...
Yeah. And it's like, what's the security in this this laboratory? Like, everywhere else, Palpatine has a security, like, top-notch, but just here he doesn't.
Thanks, Harry.
Thanks, Harry.
Hey!
Whoa, we got fireworks?
I know, look at that, Harry. Wow. Look what you've
done. That's what you get for not being jerks.
If you do double thumbs up on a Mac, it gives you fireworks.
It gives you fireworks.
Only on a Mac.
I don't got a Mac.
I'm on a Mac, it's not working. Whatever.
Whatever. It's not a big deal. But no, you're right. It seemed like the escape was kind of moved forward.
Yeah, there wasn't enough. And like, okay. So I think we're critiquing it a little bit too harshly because it is an animated show. And the reason that we're critiquing it a little bit harshly is because we're used to the type of writing that we get from like Ahsoka and the live action series.
Sure.
So I think it'll take a little bit to step really into the animated platform again, because these episodes are short. When we were doing Ahsoka, when we were doing like live action stuff, a Mandalorian, what have you, the episodes are long. The episodes are like an hour long. It's in some cases, the episodes are like mini movies in some cases. And these are very short episodes when you're thinking about it that way. So they don't have a ton of time to tell the story the same way we might be used to seeing in these really well done live action adaptations. Which is why I think that we're critiquing it the way that we're critiquing it, because we're used to that, like, that level. And this just isn't, this isn't that level. That's not to say that it's bad. It's doing really, really good work for what it is. We're just not used to this.
It's just different. Every episode's different, I think. I mean, season one and two was like the same thing. We had episode that we had a critique that were not that great, and some were fillers, but I mean, this is going to happen in
animations. I don't think that the season is going to have any filler episodes.
Oh, no.
I think they're really taking, and I can tell from the first three episodes, they are really taking the leaf out of the live action series.
Yeah,
that 3-episode drop at the beginning, ending on a cliffhanger, you know where some of the characters are. Some of the characters have a clue and the other characters are like lost in the woods. Like there's tension. It's all there. And it's very engaging when we're talking about Project Necromancer. It's very engaging to like see like what are they doing? How are they doing it? How are they going to use Omega's DNA? Like, what are they going to do? So there are a ton of questions. I think it's just really easy to see the holes because we're used to being, I mean, spoon-fed a ton of content lately.
And it also
really epic writing and acting.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
15 episodes this season, I think, this final season.
Yeah.
So
we've got a long way to go. And it also seems like, too, this could also be a super tactical move on the part of Dave Filoni and Lucasfilm as well. And the writers, they could be saying, let's give you the three most basic introductions to the Bad Batch final season, right? Let's get you thinking about Palpatine. Let's get you thinking about Project Necromancer. Let's get you thinking about what is going on with Omega. And then we're just going to give you just nothing but fire the rest of the way through.
We just wait until we have the last episodes. We know they're going to be amazing, these last few episodes of the season. And I think they should be longer than like 30 minutes.
Yeah, so do we know the run times of the next episodes? We know
I can look that up.
We know some of the titles, but do we know run times? My other thing is like crazy fan canon here. My question is Omega Force sensitive? Does she have a midichlorian count herself, or is she just able to sustain a midichlorian count? Because it would be very interesting if she has a midichlorian count herself. And who is coming back this season? Asajj Ventress as a Grey Jedi.
Yeah.
Is Omega going to train in Jedi anything?
Personally, I wouldn't want to see that.
I would. I think
no.
I think that would be really cool.
I think because of everyone harping on Sabine having the Force.
True.
I think they might shy away from that. I'd be fine with Omega having the Force because it does feel like when she is using the crossbow thing or the bow and arrow thing, it does seem like she is kind of in tune with the Force a little bit, especially when she's aiming. But it doesn't have the timeline
for it,
the other episodes. But I do have the names of the episodes.
Well, the fact that we don't have a runtime is a good thing because we can't rule out that any of these episodes will be much longer than the three. They might have given us the three shortest episodes all at once.
Yeah.
That's true.
Possible.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the last episode of this entire series, Andrew, on that list, right?
It says the Calvary has arrived.
The Calvary has arrived.
So is that the clones rebelling, or is it something else?
I mean, before that, there's Flash Strike.
Because in Legends, the clones do have an uprising.
They do.
And it's Darth Vader that snuffs them out. And we did see a small snippet of Darth Vader in there. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, they're already pulling. I mean, just in these first three episodes, they're clearly building themselves into the Star Wars Legends canon and everything else with Mount Tantiss. Like the fact that they brought Mount Tantiss back alone, and that all this testing around M count midichlorians clearly was stuff that, I mean, we're talking about Palpatine. I'm just gonna put it. We're talking about Palpatine replicating himself, cloning himself, right? Yeah,
that is straight from the Dark Empire comics.
Straight from the Dark Empire comics. And so Dave's not playing around here. So
no.
I think we're heading in that direction. I think we are heading in, let's tease, let's do this. And then episode 4, 5, and 6, we're just going to lay it all on the line. Now, when do we see Asajj is going to be the next question.
Let's see. Names.
Names would be very clear and give us a...
I would say episode 5 because it says the return, maybe.
Right.
Or
the return of Omega.
Yeah.
Oh no, not that.
A different approach.
That's the thing. I don't think they want to wait for Ventress, so she might even show up in the next episode too.
That's true. I mean, she's an intricate part of this final season, and if she's going to be playing a major role in the way in which the story is told, then I would imagine you'd want her in episode 4 or 5 and then going forward from there.
Especially because we saw Cad Bane in the trailer too. So
we did. So there's still a lot of introduction of characters to happen as well. I like the idea of the clone uprising. I like the idea that we build towards that, because in episode 3 and kind of towards the end of episode 2, you know, as we saw Omega, they finally figured out that she's got it. She's the one that they need to go after. Right.
Uh-huh.
I was saying to Shailen before, Sean, you probably thought this maybe too, is the process could possibly shut down. They know who they need now in order to keep this going, right? They need to have Ahsoka. So do we start seeing the full-on decommissioning as in getting rid of the clones officially, or like Andrew is saying, is this leading up to something bigger where the clones are like, shit, Ahsoka escaped, we got to find a way, or not Ahsoka, sorry, mixing that. Omega got out with Crosshair. Is it our time to also find our way out?
I mean, if you think about it, Cody is already in season 2. He was like, I sometimes wonder if I made the right choice or if it's all worth it anymore. He already has doubts of the Empire.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sean, what do you think? Because I mean, I think we're at this interesting crossroad where episode 4 could go any direction here.
You said you saw.
Yeah, I was trying to look up the voice actress of Asajj Ventress and see what episode she's going to be in.
It probably was.
I couldn't find it. So,
yeah, briefly too, when they were going through some of the samples as well, I swear at one point, and of course the fandom can correct me on this because I've been pretty much 0 for 12.
Not the Phantom Menace, not them.
But. No, not them. I swear at one point I saw a sample of Fives come up. Or somebody specific, because the picture was different on the screen than the ones from before. They
focused really hard on some of those profiles.
Well, if you remember when Fives was killed, Palpatine was in that hangar too.
Yes, he was. Correct.
So he would have been able to snatch like his body, being like, yeah, we cremated him. We got rid of the body. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just harboring his DNA, his clone DNA or whatever.
I think it may be just something quick that they threw in there, right? Because they do reuse images, they reuse a bunch of characters, whatever else. You know, it could have been like, oh, well, you know, nobody's going to notice this. And then, of course, every Star Wars nerd is like.
But knowing Dave Filoni, there's probably a reason.
Yeah, right.
If that is what it is.
If that is what it is. Somebody can go back and screenshot it and tweet me
Easter
out.
Easter egg.
Go, Matt. And put that out there. So what do you guys think for season 3 here as we move forward for this next episode, episode 4? What are some things that you think, you know, could really, I don't know, do we see Hunter and Wrecker in this next episode, or are we really following through on now Crosshair and Omega, you know, and their journey to Hunter and Wrecker?
I think it's going to focus on Crosshair and Omega.
I would prefer that anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think, because I sometimes get worried when it comes to animated stuff, like they figured it out with Clone Wars. Dave, you know, the first couple seasons of Clone Wars was like, okay, we do
a first couple seasons of Clone Wars is kind of rough.
Yeah,
it is. And it transitions really fast. Like you're really getting invested into where, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan are going. And then suddenly, boom, we're on a side mission.
Yeah.
Or we've got.
There's a Zillow beast.
There's a Zillow beast, right? So it's like. You know, could episode 4, I hope it doesn't jostle us and throw us in a different direction and suddenly we're looking at characters we've never met before a little bit.
I don't think since it's the final season, I don't think they would do that, because I'm trying to wrap the season up instead of going in an opposite direction of where they want to finish the storyline.
Sure.
So That's what I think. I mean, I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I always keep in the back of my mind as we're moving into, like, even the Clone Wars final season, right? I was like, okay, there's a lot to wrap up here leading up towards the end of Revenge of the Sith, and of course leading into the events as we move forward in the timeline, and wrapping up Ahsoka too within the Clone Wars timeline specifically. Yeah. I was a little worried that we were going to go off and Dave was going to be like, oh, let's give you a little bit of what's going on here and here. He didn't.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives me hope that, you know, over the years, and as we say, in Filoni we trust, it's on the crawl at the bottom here, that he's also learned, like, hey, if we're sticking to this as a finale, if we've got a certain part of the timeline we've got to finish up, we're going to do it in these 15 episodes, and we're not going to miss a beat in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think episode 4 is going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be more intense than we're making it out to be. I think we're going to come back and have a conversation about it and be like, what did we say about those first three episodes? Like they're just going to be like of the past, essentially, because the next episode is going to kind of give us the wrap up and the start of the wrap up more that we need at the end of the time. So I don't know. Be curious to see. Curious to see what happens in that way. So we'd love to know what you guys think too. You guys can head on over to Twitter, of course, over on Facebook and everything else. What are your thoughts on the first three episodes?
Not Twitter anymore. It's
X. Oh, I'm not saying X. We did this last time, Andrew.
Yes, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Ask questions too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Send us questions through
Twitter. Or Threads. You could send us a question on Threads.
Oh, that's true. I think we do have a Threads account, do we?
I don't know.
We have an Instagram account.
We have an Instagram account. So that's true. Yeah, that's true. We do.
All else on MySpace, please.
Oh, shit. Got a MySpace? Oh, God. Hi, Tom.
Hey, he was our first friend on MySpace.
That's true. We can't really be giving Tom a lot of shit.
No.
Yeah. Was Tom a Star Wars fan, do you think?
Yeah, he was.
You think so? Okay.
He looks like a Star Wars fan. No offense.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, it was a reference to Adam Driver's SNL opening skit.
Oh, that was...
You look like a Star Wars fan. No offense.
No offense. So, I mean, guys, also, we've got... I don't know what to think anymore. This is how Sean and I felt when it came to
news.
With Rogue One, like, you tease and you tease, and then you give a trailer at Star Wars Celebration to a few folks, and then we don't see anything, right? We don't get anything until you tell us that through headlines that, yeah, it's going to come out this summer, you guys, so get ready. Where's the Acolyte trailer? Where is this thing? Because Star Wars.
I don't know, Mister. Oh, I have an inside scoop, and it's coming this week. Yeah.
They should have showed the trailer at the Super Bowl.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So this is the whole thing.
Unless they didn't want to compete with.
Was your source collider, Robin?
No. But we're in that interesting period of time, and I want to shout out our good friends over at Star Wars News Net, because Sean will be talking a little bit about something as well that came from Star Wars News Net. They do a great job taking in the inside scoops, learning about what's going on behind the scenes. So big shout out to them for all they do for the Star Wars fandom. And they're This Week in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Their actual headline to this week's whole roundup was, when will we see the first trailer for The Acolyte? And I think it's a question we've all been asking. You know, we've heard people talk about, you know, oh, this was shown at Celebration. I've actually, unfortunately, seen a few things leak in terms of pictures and everything else from those trailer clips. And maybe you guys have as well.
I actually haven't seen anything from the Acolyte panel.
Right. So... I think we're in this interesting phase where, and of course, Andrew, you're going to talk about X-Men 97 as well. That headline came out this past week, right? Mm-hmm. That came out on Tuesday, I believe.
Came out on Tuesday, and we also got a trailer for it, too.
And we got a trailer for it.
I mean, it was the same day.
Yeah.
It was the same day as we got us for the Fantastic Four news.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It all kind of hit at the same time.
Which is interesting with Fantastic Four, because they haven't revealed who's Doctor Doom in that.
Right. That's going to be a really cool headline.
Because Dr. Doom is best friends with Reed Richards, so it's going to be interesting with that.
I agree.
Rumors has been going around that might be Adam Driver as Dr. Doom.
Whoa!
Again, it's just rumors, but it would be interesting if that's the case.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Adam Driver is Dr. Doom. But, I mean, it comes back to that things seem to drop from Disney on Tuesdays. They like to do the Tuesday drops. Not only did that drop this past week, we got kind of like a doubleheader with that, right? We got the trailer.
Well, maybe they didn't want to put Acolyte out too soon to X-Men 97 and Fantastic Four. Let those breathe.
Yes.
I mean, we also got the Deadpool trailer that came out during the
season. Yeah, we did.
So that was 2 weeks ago, so... So they're right. Probably like waiting.
They're lining it up here, right? They want a Deadpool to be able to breathe after the Super Bowl and for folks to go on YouTube, share it out, and have their hype around it. Then they came out. They're like, oh, here's all this hype around this Marvel product. Let's do X-Men. Let's do Fantastic Four. Let's get a teaser out there. Let's get that moving as well. So I'm thinking that Star Wars is next, right? Star Wars show usually records on Wednesdays and is released on Thursdays. So if they do a Tuesday trailer release for The Acolyte this coming week, or even the week after, I think they've got to do it this week because the news came out from sources that we were going to see a release in June for The Acolyte. Mm-hmm. So that got out there. And I think Disney and Lucasfilm have to react in a way that's like, okay, the news is out that it's coming on this specific month. Mm-hmm. Let's get this trailer out. Let's build up the hype. Let's start building up things in Galaxy's Edge and wherever else around this product.
Well, it would make sense to do it at Galaxy's Edge if that's set during the sequel era, where Acolyte is
pre-prequels? They're not super strict about it.
Okay.
They're not super strict
about it. Yeah, I have a feeling that, you know, Acolyte's going to be one of those kind of introductions.
To bring it in. Cynical about it, if they can make money off of it and they think that people will buy stuff in relation to Acolyte in Galaxy's Edge, they will 1000% incorporate Acolyte into Galaxy's Edge.
I mean, they do have the Chewbacca costume, and if they can use the Wookiee Jedi from the High Republic era, might as well do it, because he's actually one of the coolest characters in the High Republic.
This is very true. This is super true. So my theory is that where I thought
Star Wars theory.
I heard that, yeah, no, we do not use that name here on this podcast.
I just did.
That name is forbidden on this podcast.
On the podcast. Tuesday would
make, at least we have more hair than him.
That is very true. He makes choices with his hair, doesn't he?
I have luscious hair, okay?
Hey, let's not start a beef.
We've already got a beef. We already got a beef. This is why we have Shayla.
Yeah.
So
we have the
Tuesday beast. Tuesday release for the trailer, I think would be great, right? I think a Tuesday release would make a lot of sense, and we would finally get something that we can comment on. So. So Sean. Your thoughts, yes. Acolyte trailer Tuesday. When should we see something? Or what would you like to even see in an Acolyte trailer at this point? Because
something, anything.
I mean,
like, I don't know. I would hope probably see it soon, probably next week, hopefully, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think it's going to happen?
Next week? Probably not.
I mean, I think that they're running out of time.
It'll happen when we're at PAX East.
That would be interesting.
That would be, I mean, 1 month out and then you give us the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this
PAX East is in March.
Right. Next and then it comes out June. April, May, June. Okay, so a few months out from it. Right. Exactly.
Wait, when was the Rogue One trailer? Oh, before Rogue One.
You want to know? It was 3 months out.
3 months out?
3 months out, they gave us the Rogue One trailer. They really waited on that.
Really? It was that close to Rogue One?
Yeah, there were teasers that came out, but we didn't get a full Rogue One trailer until 3 months
ago. That's true.
So I think we'll probably get like a teaser instead of full trailer, to be honest.
Okay. I'm fine with Disney Plus doing teasers instead of full trailers for their shows. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want them to show too much.
Okay.
Because it's a complete different studio, but Blumhouse, who does a lot of horror films,
yeah,
all their trailers, basically you can watch one of their trailers and you've seen all of their movie in one trailer.
Yeah.
That's mostly all trailers, though. So
yeah, I've been trying to avoid as many trailers as possible so I can go in blind to any movie I go and see now. It doesn't exactly help that they play trailers before movies, but it's like,
yeah.
But I would say
imagine they have the trailer for the Dune movie when that comes out.
Mm.
Like, see in trailers when Dune Part 2 comes out, which is next week.
What did we go see?
We went to see Little Mermaid.
Yeah, they hadn't removed the Dune trailer yet, so we saw the Dune trailer during the strikes.
I mean, what if they did that for Acolyte for?
And that's my thought with the Phantom Menace release. Is from what I've heard, because Acolyte is 100 years before the Phantom Menace, before Phantom Menace starts, when it re-releases, there'll be an extended preview for Acolyte before you see the Phantom Menace.
Right.
What I've heard. I think it would actually be pretty cool if they did do that, because then it would generate more interest to those who might not have Disney Plus, be like, hey, this looks like a cool show. I might subscribe.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was heading with this too, is that I think in order for them to take advantage of newer subscribers or to get folks hooked on, you know, in the
past, they're down subscribers too.
They are. And what has not helped is this whole, well, you've got to pay extra for ad free. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, if you have Hulu TV Live and you also want Disney without ads, it's going to cost you $59.99 a month.
It goes up, yeah.
It goes up. So they've got
to... we're also going to do away with password sharing, too.
So this is what I'm getting at, is that, you know, with all of these... And especially with streaming services, I feel like we can have a whole separate conversation about the direction that streaming services are going, because we're heading back to cable.
That's why I'm still on the physical media train, because you can just pop in one of the Blu-rays or 4Ks and you don't have to pay an additional fee or have to worry about getting your account blocked if you have a friend sign into your account.
Yeah, you can just say, here's the DVD, go watch it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how it's always been. I think Disney has a certain amount of time. I think maybe the Acolyte's not the right product to try to get subscribers. Maybe Mandalorian and Ahsoka kind of were in that way. And maybe they will wait for the Phantom Menace to come out and put it before the Phantom Menace.
I feel like that's too
late.
Late.
It would be too late. I agree.
That's a month out, unless they change the release date for Acolyte.
Is there anything that comes out around the same time as Acolyte would in June?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. I can't think of anything off the top of my head in terms of any Disney films. It's May the 4th as well. Like, are they waiting for May the 4th for that?
Inside Out 2. A Quiet Place.
They wouldn't do it before Inside Out 2. That wouldn't make any sense.
Well, if it's... there's the Crow remake coming out. The Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Out 2.
Hitman.
Bike Rider. It Ends With Us. I don't know what that is. Horizon. Yeah, there's a few. If anything, it might be the Crow remake with Bill Skarsgård.
They would throw it before that.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I think we're in a really interesting place though, where, mm-hmm. you know, it's either for me, it's either the next couple of weeks or you're gonna wait till last second to
get. I won't be surprised if they maybe put it out this Tuesday. Because they also might have been waiting for the weekend to pass because the new Avatar: The Last Airbender series did just release on Netflix, so they might have been trying to steer away from that too, maybe.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I don't know. We've run into this before. I mean, the thing is we'll watch The Acolyte and we'll probably really like it and everything else, but you know.
We'll be woke.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. And I don't know. I don't know what their approach is. I mean, I think Star Wars News Net
Star Wars News is one of the more reliable sources.
Yeah.
I just like giving Robin shit. So, it might have been a thing where people were saying, oh, it's going to come out this weekend. And Disney might have been like, no, it's not.
Right. Like the news got out there and suddenly everybody's like, oh my goodness. And then we're going to wait.
And that's the other thing. Like if people are expecting it to release or getting news that it's releasing, it kind of spoils the surprise of it dropping.
That does. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right in that way. But Sean, you had something too from the Star Wars Newsnet crew. That came out.
It came out 5 days ago. The news I got, because I first saw it on Twitter, then I had to search it up. It was actually true. It's a rumor that Angela Bassett, who's in Black Panther, and she's a great actress and all that, she's rumored to be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
As a Jedi? As a
just we don't know yet.
She's just going to run across screen being like, hi, I'm here.
No, I mean, Barb and I talked about it a little bit before that you came in.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe it should be like part of the political type era of Star Wars, maybe. I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Angela Bassett she's fantastic. And, you know, the fact that she's having conversations with Lucasfilm about a possible role in Star Wars, if that is true, of course, our friends over at Star Wars News Net are reporting that it's a rumor that's been out there. I think Sean's right. I think that we're kind of heading into maybe her being a part of the Star Wars universe, either in the Mandalorian film that's going to be coming out in a political role, or not for nothing. You know, we also have the Rey Skywalker film coming out as well. You know, are they looking at any passage for that as well? She's a recognizable name. People know Daisy Ridley. And, you know, what's one thing that the sequels did have? The sequels did have a lot of celebrity appearances and a lot of folks that were recognizable faces that came in to play very specific roles.
I mean, Angela Bassett already has that Disney kind of, I mean, contract anymore because her character.
Yeah, because, I mean, she already had, like, the stuff with Marvel. It's like Adam Driver. If he is Dr. Doom, he literally went from Star Wars to Marvel.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Honestly, my fan casting for Dr. Doom, even though he was already in Marvel, would be Michael Fassbender, because he was perfect as a young Magneto. I think he would do well as Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm curious. For Fantastic Four, what did you guys think of the casting reveal, and who would you want as Dr. Doom?
It's a good question.
I mean, I like Pedro Pascal. I can't see him fit as Reed Richards.
No. I do wish that they still kept, I forget the actor's name, but the one who was in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
In Multiverse of Madness, because he fit Reed Richards pretty well. Unless they do the Council of Reed Richards, so they might do that. Joseph Quinn was a surprise as Human Torch. He's from Stranger Things as Eddie Munson, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm also surprised is they're from rumors I've heard, they're already considering Galactus as the villain for Fantastic Four, which I'm like, that's pretty early for Galactus.
Yeah, it's really early for that, yeah.
And then we have Eben Moss-Brack as the Thing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the design for the Thing is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vanessa Kirby, I could see her as.
Yeah, Vanessa was a good casting. Yeah.
I feel like Pedro Pascal was. Don't get me wrong, I love Pedro Pascal, but it kind of seemed obvious that they were probably just going to use him.
It seems more like a fan casting than it did something.
It did, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I can see that.
But I mean, I'll give him a shot. Maybe he's going to be the best Reed Richards that we'll ever get. Because, I mean, technically, we've only gotten two. One was in the Fox Fantastic Four movies, which he wasn't bad. But they haven't done Doctor Doom right. So I'm curious how they do Doctor Doom. Mm-hmm. And I'm still surprised that they didn't reveal who is playing Doctor Doom.
You know who I would love to play Doctor Doom?
Who?
Yeah.
Robin Pattinson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would be.
Yeah.
Like, I guess see him play him.
But I don't know if his contract with Warner Brothers, with DC, would have any conflict with that.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on, like, when the Batman Part 2 is filming with that.
Do you know what would elevate Fantastic Four to a whole new level in a Doctor Doom casting?
What?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
You want to talk Keanu Reeves as Dr. Doom? You've got every John Wick fan in that theater who is not.
That's true. And has Keanu Reeves ever really played like a villain character?
Not in a Marvel. I don't know. No.
He was Constantine, but that's more of like an anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a casting that would set the world on fire in terms
of... That would actually be really good casting. I never even considered that.
Yeah, because you said Robert Pattinson, and then you said, you know, Adam Driver. I'm like, what's in the middle there? Who's in the who's beyond them in terms of experience and acting and everything
else? I mean, he would be around the same age as Pedro Pascal.
Correct.
So that would work in that kind of with him being best friends with Reed Richards.
Another one, maybe like Alexander Skarsgård. Doctor Doom.
Coming off the Crow, have him be.
No, that Crow is Bill.
Alexander Skarsgård. Okay, yes.
There's
Skarsgårds.
Yeah, I know.
So many of them.
Oh, which Bill Skarsgård is also going to be Nosferatu in the
Nosferatu movie
that they're doing, which I am really excited for that. We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
You
have stuff about X-Men 97, though, Andrew.
I do. Yeah. I just want to talk about it. One, I'm surprised it's even happening because the original X-Men animated series, it did have a definitive end. Charles Xavier died.
Yeah.
Again, this was a kid's show in the 90s, and Charles Xavier died. The X-Men Cyclops became the leader. He was always the leader. It was never Wolverine. So those who were like, oh, it's Wolverine as the leader. No, it's Cyclops, and they're putting respect back on his name. And honestly, I love that the animation is basically still the same.
Yeah.
Just obviously upgraded. I'm curious to see where it goes because one, they're bringing back.
It's just continuous of stuff.
It's literally a sequel series to the original animated series.
Yeah.
It looks like the version of Magneto is more of the anti-hero one that we get in the comics at a later point.
Oh, interesting.
Cause he has the longer hair. But as a kid growing up in the 90s, X-Men, the animated series, Spider-Man, and Batman were like the best animated series growing up. And I even said it on my Instagram. I'm like, if X-Men 97 does well, I would want them to do a sequel series to Spider-Man the Animated Series, because that never finished. It the funding for it just kind of fell flat and just ended. So Spider-Man has been floating in that void for the last like 26 years. But yeah, I'm just really excited for it, and it is going to be weekly episodes for X-Men 97.
Great.
And they're bringing back the original theme that they used in X-Men the Animated Series. And it's perfect for those who are wanting to get introduced to X-Men. Before maybe Deadpool. And those who are saying, oh, don't woke X-Men, have never read an X-Men comic. X-Men has been woke since the 60s.
It's been there. Yeah.
Wait till they find out that Professor X and Magneto were based off of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
Yeah. That's right.
But did you guys see the X-Men 97 trailer?
Yes.
I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. I think, you know, anything that, that can be put out there that, like you said, Andrew, introduces folks before Deadpool comes out as well, but also kind of brings us back into the X-Men universe. Like, I remember as a kid going into a comic book shop and all these X-Men comics being, you know, there and being like, oh, you know, what's this about? What's this about? What's this about? And you're right about the wokeness of it. They've been doing it forever. Like, if you pick up an X-Men comic from 1974, like, it's
yeah,
everything that you would expect it to be.
Their main issue is one, the character Morph is non-binary in the series. He can morph into anyone. It makes sense that he's non-binary.
Yes, people just look into it just way too far. They look into it just way too far, and they find the smallest freaking things.
Wait till they find out about Wolverine and his threesome with Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Oh, I know. That's gonna it's gonna throw some folks off. It's been there for a while, but yeah.
I mean, Mystique's technically non-binary, technically.
Yeah, she can transform into anyone.
Yeah.
So people need to just stop. Let's just put it that way. People need to stop. X-Men 97 does look fantastic, Andrew.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah, it is making me want to watch, because I haven't watched the original X-Men, but making me want to watch it. Yeah.
Also, good news for X-Men 97. If you are interested, I will be doing a watch-along on the premiere day, March 20th, on my YouTube channel, Committed Nerd. If you want to join, let me know. It'll be mostly the premiere episode, so yeah, just let me know if you guys wanted to join and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, any final thoughts here? Wrap up this this episode. Any shout outs you want to do, things coming up, or
well, one thing that I do kind of want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I did kind of put this in the group chat yesterday. Superman Legacy. What do you guys hope from Superman Legacy? And where would you want to see that's new for the character, for what James Gunn might do with it? Because they do start filming next week, which makes me excited.
I mean, I'm not really a Superman guy anyways. So
I'm not either, but it's also the first Superman movie in like 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I don't know what. Hopefully it's good.
DC's got a lot of work to do. Let's put it that way, right? DC's got a lot of catching up to do. And I think, like you said, Andrew, the first Superman film in over 12 years, I know Scott Inch would definitely have some opinions on this. But, you know, first Superman in 12 years, James Gunn directing. I mean, I think they've got to...
Superman again?
I forget the actor's name, but he's relatively unknown, which I think is good for
Superman. I would say,
because Christopher Reeve wasn't really known when he got the role of Superman.
Right.
And it was basically the same with Henry Cavill. He wasn't really known when he got the role of Superman.
David Cornswin? Corn Sweat?
Mm-hmm. Corn Sweat, yeah.
Nathan Fillion's going to be in it, apparently. Oh, yeah. Millie Alcock from Game of Thrones will be in it.
Yeah, I think she's playing Supergirl, from what I've heard.
Yeah, rumored. This is rumored.
But this is the thing. If you're going to do this, we'll put it out there. If you're going to do this the right way, right?
Mm-hmm.
DC has had a past, especially recently, where they go above and beyond to the point where somebody who's either being introduced to a character mm-hmm. or is being reintroduced to a character, they get muddled in the movie theater. They're like, mm-hmm. okay, I want to focus on Superman, right? And I think Supergirl being there is fine. Absolutely. There's been a whole series. There's been comics. There's been everything recently revolving around Supergirl, right? Mm-hmm. Makes sense. But you can't muddy the waters by saying, here's Supergirl, here's Superman, and here's 17 other characters that we're just going to throw up on screen mm-hmm. and completely move the plot in the wrong direction. To be honest with you, that's what went wrong with Batman v Superman.
I agree.
I mean, also look at the Madam Web going to Marvel, a character that not many people know about, and just throwing characters that we don't know.
Well, they have the best line in Madam Web: "When you take on responsibility, you will gain great abilities."
What abilities?
Yeah.
This
because they can't say with great power comes great responsibility for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. Right. But I you know, Andrew, I think when it comes to Superman, James Gunn, I just want to get Superman on screen doing what Superman does mm-hmm. and Supergirl at his side. I don't need 17 other characters being introduced in this film. I don't need subplots and side quests and all this other stuff. Like, just give me a straight Superman film. Mm-hmm.
From what I noticed, because they did the table reading, the symbol for Superman is more the style of Kingdom Come Superman. If yeah. they're going that route, I am all for it.
Sure.
I don't look like yeah, Kingdom Come by Jay-Z.
No.
Not that.
I'm just...
Even though he's a younger Superman, he can lead into becoming that the Kingdom Come Superman.
Sure.
Because Kingdom Come Superman is an older Superman who's still trying to keep up with younger villains, everything like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, will they use the classic John Williams score is the question.
John came back. He was like, I'm coming out of retirement for the 20th time.
I mean, he couldn't let Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny be his last.
No, not at all.
What do you want Superman to be his last film?
I mean, he is the one that made his theme iconic.
Yeah.
I mean, my guess would be he wants to do Superman, and then he'll probably want to do the scoring for the Ray film. That would be probably my guess.
Because he did say he doesn't want anyone scoring for Ray besides him. This is morbid, but hopefully he lives to then. But
knock on wood.
I'm just saying he's not a young spring chicken.
No,
he's a little bit old.
Sure,
just a little bit. And one small thing, real quick. There
sure,
is
yeah.
rumors of Henry Cavill joining the MCU. From what I've heard, ooh. Playing Captain Britain.
Oh, him as Captain Britain. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. I mean, it sounds like Marvel's heading that direction where they're just pulling from the lore. They're just pulling from every comic book that's been.
But I do feel like Marvel does kind of need to slow down a bit.
I agree. We're going to hit DC territory if we're not careful.
We'll definitely do a Marvel talk.
Okay, I have one more to say.
Go for it, Sean.
What do you think about Joker 2? I mean, I'm not too excited about it.
This is also coming from a guy who said we didn't need a Joker movie to begin with.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm curious on it, mostly because I'm curious how they do the musical stuff.
See, that's why.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a sequel to do musical. I wish it was left alone. But what I'm hearing. The original movie cost $60 million to make. The next one's cost $200 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, Lady Gaga's getting paid $12 million. And then Joaquin Phoenix is like 20-something million. So
that's a whole other conversation right there.
That's a whole lot of conversation there.
Like, where's the 200?
Where's the rest of the money going to?
Yeah, right. Are they trying to do Greatest Showman here? Like, are they trying? Like, I don't know.
Like, if that can really hurt the box, the money. If they especially with a sequel that many people don't want.
Yeah.
And that costing that much money.
Knowing Warner Brothers' track record, they're gonna be like, "Oh, see, no one cared about Joker."
Hey, sorry, Warner Brothers. We don't want to.
This is my take.
We don't want a Coyote movie.
I think if Joker went that extra mile, this is my thought on the original film as well. They should have, besides killing the Waynes, they should have killed Bruce as well. A world without Batman.
Mm. Some men like to watch the world burn.
And I mean, Joker was still my number one movie of 2019. Like
it was a great film.
It beat Endgame for me.
I just don't know how they're gonna do it with the second one.
I don't either, but I'll still go and see it.
I'll wait to see the trailer, honestly.
See? Look at that circle. Circle right there. Wait to see a trailer. That's what we're gonna wait for. But no, it's super exciting stuff again.
super.
See what I'm doing there? You see what I'm doing? So thank you guys.
What a joke.
I know. Thank you guys so much for tuning in here, but hey, it's not an episode until we do this one part. It's a little
plug time. Like
oh no.
Plug time. Plug time.
Wait. I see what Sean's doing.
The money is always right.
Mr. Sean Micho. Where can the good people find you on social media?
On Twitter, @SeanMichaud1, Instagram @itzonez, and follow me on, don't follow me on Facebook. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, whatever.
Andrew, what's coming up with Commander Nerd, and where can the good people find you?
Not a whole lot on Commander Nerd right now. Okay. Got a couple of watch longs at some point. Still figuring out dates for those. Might be a hunt at some point. Ooh. We're still trying to figure out what to do with that because Best Buy is doing away with their physical media. Yeah. Walmart's slowly doing away with that. So it's
a lot of this Dave's fault. Dave not doing his end of work?
Yeah, it's all Dave's fault.
Okay, makes sense. By the way, can we do congratulations to Dave on his new relationship?
Well, I mean, it's been one that he's
had. I'm learning about it now.
It's the first time I'm hearing about it.
Not a whole lot. Might do a couple of live streams and stuff like that. But we got PAX East.
PAX East coming up down the road. You guys can see the
brand. Yeah, we have the Durham Toy Show.
Yeah, Dover Toy and Record Show, same weekend. That's gonna be a busy weekend. My goodness, we've got Friday there, we've got Saturday, and then of course we've got Fan Expo. We've got the main cosplay extravaganza that's gonna be happening in Portland, Maine as well. That's gonna be happening in August. So we're super excited.
And Silver Scream Con in September.
Yeah, Silver Scream Con. I mean,
I'll be there, but
Andrew will be there. No, he'll be doing all the coverage. So a lot of exciting stuff. So make sure to keep it locked, of course, at Brick City Blockade, at Real Fandom Talk on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Make sure to like, share, do all that amazing stuff. Subscribe here on YouTube for more content. And of course, make sure to also subscribe, fuck you guys, over on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify as well. But until next time, we will see you super, super soon. And by the way, this is the most consistent recording schedule we've had in a while. So
don't jinx it.
Big round of applause to us for that.
Sorry, we were supposed to do this on Friday.
Sean, oh man. Yeah,
Mr. Rob would be like, oh, I got an inside scoop.
Until next time, everybody, we will see you soon. May the force be with you.
Holy gospel.
I hate this. Goodbye.
What the hell, man?
That was an Adam Driver reference.